Hello there, I'm Positive Paulie. Welcome to my podcast, Coffee and Conversation with the Stars, featuring actors who grace the stages of many of the wonderful live theater locations we have here on Cape Cod. I'm here with Lissa de Guzman, playing Guinevere in Lerner and Lowe's Camelot. Came and saw your performance last night and was blown away. Of course, your performance was spectacular. Vocals, spot on. And everyone else was terrific. I mean, what a cast. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's a reason why they say the Cape Playhouse is where Broadway comes to summer.
Absolutely.
And so welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And thanks for coming to the show.
Sure. My pleasure. So what was your epiphany, or was it maybe over time growing up, that you said, I'm in. That's what I want to do. Mm-hmm.
Yes. My story's kind of spanned many years, because I have an older brother who's about 9 years older than I am, and he, from a young age, he knew he wanted to get into theater. So we grew up going to all his plays and his musicals and his shows.
Okay.
So we were exposed to the theater world in that way through him, and he decided he wanted to do it, so he went up to college and pursued it, but I was still about 8 years old. So I always had a love for it, but I played a lot of sports, and I remember telling my dad I wanted to be a dermatologist, and he was all about that. He was like, that sounds great. In my junior year of high school, I decided to audition for the musical that year, and it was Seussical the Musical, and I played Gertrude McFuzz, and I had so much fun doing it. I created this whole character, and every moment that I had on stage, I was having character development and all that happening, and I just had so much fun, and my director saw something in me, and he, after the show was done, we were in class, and he asked me to stay after, and he just talked to me about how if I really buckled down and trained in singing, acting, and dancing, that I could make this a career if I wanted to. And he was just giving me the option. He wasn't forcing me in any way. And truly, all I needed was that. All I needed was one person to say that I could do it if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And from that moment on, I was all about pursuing theater. Because
I thought
to myself, if I went to be a dermatologist and I went to New York and saw a musical or saw the tours coming through, I would be so sad that I never at least gave it a chance.
Right.
So it was my junior year of high school that I really decided to pursue theater, all because of my director.
Awesome. Awesome. And he knows this story.
He does know the story. Oh, I thank him all the time.
That's
he
great.
Comes to see me in everything I do usually if he
oh,
can
great.
Make it. And I'm always like, I'm here because of you.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So you were in the next show in senior year in
yes,
high school.
Yes.
And so, okay, you
yes,
just immersed yourself.
Exactly. I immersed myself. He helped me get in piano lessons, plays and musicals, and really diverse repertoire. He really
okay.
helped me with that.
Okay. So and then moving forward, there was a break. There was something that happened.
Mm-hmm. In my career.
Yeah, in your career.
Yes.
So.
Yes. So I went to college in Nashville, Tennessee. I feel as if I had two breaks, sort of,
okay.
which I love. My first break was a few months out of college. I booked the Aladdin National Tour, and it was the original cast, and I got to be a swing and understudy Jasmine. So right out of college, it's pretty rare to book a production Broadway tour.
And it happened how?
And it happened, I went to New York and I auditioned.
Oh, okay.
And just, they saw something in me, so they hired me. And
great.
So I got to go on this amazing tour, and it was Disney, and we stayed in Chicago for 7 months and then San Francisco for 3 months. So we were in these amazing cities for long periods of time.
Yeah.
So I feel pretty spoiled to have done that
wow.
right out of college.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then my second break, I would say, is after the pandemic. I was in Aladdin on Broadway. And then I'd always wanted to do Wicked, and I always wanted to play Elphaba, which is a huge role, and it's known as the hardest female principal role in musical theater. It's a hard sing, it's an acting piece, it's a marathon. Essentially, the second she enters the stage, she doesn't
yeah.
leave it.
And, yeah.
and it's iconic, everyone knows it, you have to get your,
yeah.
your skin painted green every day,
yeah.
it's a whole thing.
I did kind of check out online,
yes.
the YouTubes and,
yes.
and the Facebook,
you can
yeah.
find
yeah.
exactly. So Elphaba is pretty much a lot of musical theater women,
yeah.
that's their dream, and if it's not Elphaba, then it's Glinda. So to be in that show is super special, and in February of 2022, I booked that role. And that's changed my life.
Yeah.
And I got to go on that tour for over a year, and And that musical really changed my life. So I would say Aladdin and Wicked.
Wow.
Were big breaks that changed my life.
Wow. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. Were you doing something, you were doing something between then and now. Did you have something else?
Yes. I've been doing the Disney Princess Concerts.
Okay.
Which was created by Susan Egan and Benjamin Ruhala. And it's under the Disney umbrella. And Susan Egan is the original Belle in Beauty and the Beast and the voice of Megara in Hercules.
Okay.
So they created this concert where we sing four-part harmony, and we sing all the different Disney princess songs, and it's very nostalgic. It's everything you want to hear.
Yeah.
And we make it really fun, and we tell our story of how we made it to be a part of the concert. And so I've done that, and I got to sing with the Boston Symphony.
I was going to ask, because I saw Boston, you were in Boston.
Yes.
So you sang with the Boston Symphony with that
yes.
With the four of you.
Yes.
Okay.
The four of us princesses sang the Boston Pops in, I believe that was May.
Okay.
And then, yes, I went and did a production of Legally Blonde at Casey Starlight, which was a really cool outdoor theater. We performed for 8,000 people.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That was a very special and fun one.
Wow.
I know. And then here I am.
Wow.
The Cape.
Wow. We're thrilled to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
So talk about this production. Now, my understanding is that you're a couple of weeks rehearsal in New York.
Yes.
And then you all come up here together. You got Tech Week in 2 days.
Exactly. So
it's amazing.
It's a crazy schedule. So we rehearsed for 2 weeks in New York, and then took the train up on a Sunday to Cape or to Dennis right here.
Yeah.
And then for the next 2 days, that Monday and Tuesday, we teched, and then we had a final run on Wednesday, and then we opened on Wednesday night.
For the listeners, just if you would define teched.
Yes.
Because they maybe not know that.
Totally. So teching a show means you're finally in the theater, you have the set around you, and tech is the time where the amazing crew, which I'll talk about them in a second, get to set the lighting and set the proper sound balance, and the backstage crew gets to see where we do our quick changes and how our costumes work and if costumes need to be changed at all, and props are all in order. So all the visual things
right.
you see, the wigs, the costumes, the props, the set, the light, the sound, the stage managers, tech is where all of that gets figured out. And so there's about, 50 things happening at once.
Right.
While the actors are also getting accustomed to the set and getting accustomed to our costumes and fleshing out all of the details of
right.
the performance. So and usually for a Broadway show or for a tour, which I've been a part of both, you get like 2 weeks of tech. You get a long time
right.
to really tech it through. So to tech something in 2 weeks, in 2 days is really incredible.
Yeah.
And that is also because of the crew here. The crew is amazing. So for instance, American in Paris, which was the show before this, closed on a Saturday. The Camelot cast arrived on a Sunday, and we got a tour of this theater, and our set was already on here. So within 1 day, they took down the American in Paris set and put ours up in 1 day.
Wow.
And then teched our show in 2 days. That is unheard of. It's amazing. This crew is so hardworking and so amazing, and just the way that the Cape Playhouse has figured out how to go from show to show is really incredible.
And then this tree.
I know.
Behind you.
I know. We were all in rehearsal, and we heard like this tree is going to be massive, and King Arthur's going to be able to climb it and all that. We were like, okay.
Yeah.
And then we arrived, and it looks like a real tree, and Jonathan does get to climb it, and he falls out of it, and the leaves are incredible. And what's amazing about the leaves is, and the lighting design is, that it goes through the seasons, through the leaves.
Right. Yeah.
So that's just a very smart design tactic, I think. And the tree is incredible. And this stone that people stand and sit on is amazing.
I could use this in my backyard, actually.
Right? Well, Hunter will
I know.
The joke. You can take the tree if you want.
Right, yeah. Well, he was starting at 500,000
right,
though last
right.
night. That's a little bit out of my budget.
You got to start somewhere, I guess.
Yeah. The show was just unbelievable. I don't know if I've said this already, but I read Josh Walden's in the Playbill. Why? why bring this mm-hmm. back to the theater? It started around 1960 or so, and I remember seeing this show live, but I can't remember if it was in New York or regional mm-hmm. or I was a kid. So I remember that. Then I remember seeing a movie, and that was the last time I had, you know, the performance, if you will, visual. But heard the music all my life, and it, right. and was in even in my own in musicals at school where they would pick some songs from Camelot.
Yes.
And so, you know, my heart was with the show, so to speak, before I saw it. When he says it's the same message, but it's different, mm-hmm. and yet true to the original performance, original story, but it's different. And I've refrained. I said this morning to my audience about seeing this show last night, but I refrained from any reference to what that meant. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask
Smart.
You to do the same thing.
Yes, absolutely.
But when you were up for the part, and you get a chance to know this in mm-hmm. advance, right? You know, this is what some of the thought is behind it. Any feelings one way or the other, like, oh?
Sometimes before an audition, you don't.
Okay.
You don't know.
Okay.
You just get the name of the show and who's directing it, and then you make the decision from there.
Okay.
But I had heard of Josh Walden, and I have a lot of friends who've worked with Josh Walden before, so I was already on board. And I actually didn't know Camelot that well.
Okay.
I knew the songs because the songs are iconic,
right.
and in school, people would sing them, but right. I never understood exactly what the songs meant because
right.
I didn't
yeah.
know the show well.
Yeah.
That was such a draw on the first day of rehearsal, is hearing Josh talk about how we were going to do it.
Yeah.
Because most of us in the show, there are eight of us in the show, I wouldn't say, you know, all eight of us, it's not our favorite show. We didn't know it very well.
Right,
so
yeah.
So it was really special to have Josh talk about how we are going to absolutely honor the essence of what it was and also bring in the what life is now.
Right.
And sort of marry the two.
Yeah.
To give it a universal theme and mm-hmm. a connection with all generations.
Yeah.
So that we can honor again what was iconic and amazing.
Yeah.
And then bring it to life a little more in this era.
Exactly.
And that was really special to all of us because that is exactly how we'd want to portray it.
Sure,
well,
sure.
Bring some of ourselves to it, bring some of our humanness to it, and
yep.
show, you know, the intricacies of love and then love versus duty and responsibility and just making it very human. And I think that always helps audiences connect to it better.
Yeah.
And then sort of think about it in a different way.
Yeah.
And especially our audiences who, you know, maybe have seen the original or the original
right.
movies or saw Julie Andrews
mm-hmm.
again.
Exactly.
So that they can see what they loved about it and have that nostalgic feeling, and then also have a different approach and a new thought to it and say, oh, I didn't think about that before.
Right.
Or that's a new take.
Yeah.
I love that new interesting.
Yeah. Well, because so much about how life is now
exactly.
is new. It's
exactly.
different. Like, who'd have thought? And then without saying some of these things, that
yes.
this would be part of our regular conversations.
Right.
And that's what I think was genius mm-hmm. about what Josh has done. Mm-hmm. And yet, even from the beginning, there was some friends of ours that had seen the show and said it was different.
Mm-hmm.
So don't go with an expectation of seeing and then comparing, because that's what ends up happening. You kind of end mm-hmm. up comparing actor to actor and how they mm-hmm. did it compared to, and you know, you'd like to bring your own self to the part, mm-hmm. but go with an open mind is what they said.
The huh? tact. I love it.
So without any spoiler, you know, spoilers yes. or saying anything in particular, and as we were watching it, my girlfriend Frederique and I were looking at each other like, yeah, I get it now.
Yeah.
I get what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, listeners, you got to see this show.
Absolutely.
You have to see this show.
Because it'll give you both the new ideas and the old wonderful feelings.
Yeah, it really will. So, well, thank you so much, Lissa,
yes.
for spending some time with me. And I know my audience will love listening to you. And where are you off to from here?
From here, I have a bunch of things Definitely some more Disney Princess Concert Symphony.
So that'll be like a, okay, we got four gigs in the Midwest, or we're going to go here. And
yes, my next thing is they asked us to perform on a Disney cruise.
So cool.
For a week, and I'll get to perform on a Disney cruise.
Have you been on a cruise before?
I have, but only as a little kid. So this is going to be my first as an adult, and I'm so excited. but yes, that one, and then another symphony gig in California with the Bay Philharmonic singing a bunch of, like, the best of Broadway songs.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
That's great. What a life.
I know. I love it. You like to travel. I like to travel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You like to do it all.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. Well, thank you again, Lissa. And tickets are still available at capeplayhouse.com. Mm-hmm. So please go get your tickets, see this wonderful, wonderful rendition of Lerner and Lowe's Camelot. And we'll look forward to seeing you hopefully sometime in the future when Broadway comes back to Dennis and you are in one of those shows.
I hope to be back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Positive Pauly. Thank you for joining me and listening to Coffee and Conversation with the Stars here on Coffee FM's podcast. And check back often at coffeefmcapecod.com for more Coffee and Conversation with the Stars.